Welcome to The Love Booth and Other Plays, a play by Tara Goldstein with contributions from Alec Butler and Jenny Salisbury, and music and lyrics composed by Kale Reed. I am playwright Tara Goldstein, and I am so glad you've joined us. Star House. Star House begins with a young drag queen named Chelsea Goodwin telling the audience lesbian and gay activism in conference hotel rooms in the 70s did nothing to help us. We were homeless, gay youth and young drag queens living on the streets of New York. People called us runaways, but we were actually throwaways. Chelsea goes on to tell the story of how trans activists Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera looked after her and other homeless youth. In 1970, Marsha and Sylvia founded Street Transvestites Action Revolutionaries, STAR, STAR. Setting, Star House.
Lesbian and gay activism in conference hotel rooms in the 1970s did nothing to help us. We were homeless gay youth and young drag queens living on the streets of New York. People called us runaways, but we were actually throwaways. Throwaway children whose families tossed them out when they refused to live with who we were. When we found ourselves homeless on the streets of New York, we became sex workers to survive. Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera looked out for us. When they were able to rent a hotel room or an apartment, they would sneak us up into their rooms. Sometimes 50 people slept in their two rooms. In 1970, they founded Street Transvestites Action Revolutionaries, STAR. The first STAR house was a parked trailer truck in an outdoor parking lot in Greenwich Village. One day, very early in the morning, Sylvia and Marsha came by the trailer with food for us and saw that the trailer was moving. We were still sleeping as the trucker was driving it away. Most of us got out in time, but one of us didn't get up and found herself driving to California. After that, Marsha and Sylvia threw a fundraiser and raised enough money to go to the mafia and rent a four-bedroom apartment in a rundown building in the East Village. Sylvia said,
"You can say anything you want about the mafia. Yeah, they took advantage of us, but when we needed them, they were there."
Marsha and Sylvia were the mothers of the house, and they hustled so we kids wouldn't have to. Sylvia knew what it was like living on the streets. As a kid, she lived with her grandmother. When she started wearing makeup in grade 4, her grandmother didn't like it. And just before her 11th birthday, Sylvia left home and started living on the streets and hustling just like us. Some street drag queens took her in and gave her the name Sylvia. The apartment didn't have any electricity and didn't have any heat, but we all started working to repair it. Some of us also helped out by liberating food from the A&P. In those days, they used to leave everything out in front of the store before it opened. It was a revolutionary thing. Everyone in the neighborhood loved Star House. They left their kids with us and we babysit them. If they were hungry, we fed them. We fed half the neighborhood. Marsha and Sylvia kept Star House going for a while. They had all kinds of plans, like to start a school on the third floor. Some of us left home so early we couldn't read or write.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did.
Until we couldn't pay the rent and were evicted. First, Star House died. Then on the fourth anniversary of Stonewall in 1973, Star itself died. Bette Midler came to sing happy birthday for the anniversary celebration. It was a happy day for a lot of people, but not for us. The organizers stopped the drag queens from performing. They said drag queens were a threat and an embarrassment to women. I'd been scheduled to be a feature speaker, but they said they didn't want me to speak either. But there was no way I wasn't gonna speak. I fought my way onto the stage and did my piece. You may have heard it. After that day, I left the movement. The movement I helped to create. Who do you think was there at Stonewall that night in 1969, the night of the rebellion? We were the ones who were there. The street queens. I was really hurt. So hurt I tried to kill myself. And landed in the hospital. They had to put 60 stitches into this arm. At the time, my boss in New Jersey told me, "Ray, the oppressed always become the oppressor. Be careful. Watch it." You know, I'm so angry at this fucking community, I sometimes wish 1969 had never happened. But it did happen. And now I have a whole lot of children. And I got to see them last year at the World Pride in Italy. The Italian transsexual organization in Bologna asked me to come and speak at their celebration. It was one of the most beautiful moments of my life. After all of those years, I was asked to speak in front of 500,000 people. Lots of them were mainstream gay people who had oppressed our community. I reminded all those 500,000 children out there that day that if it wasn't for us, they would not be where they are at today. They would not have anything, none of them, from one corner of the world to the other. Because it was our community, the street kids, the street queens of that era who fought for what we have today.
The next year, Star was resurrected.
I was at a New Year's service at the Metropolitan Community Church with Julia, and they were calling for the monitors of the upcoming trial of Amanda Milan's assassins. Amanda Milan was a 25-year-old trans woman murdered on the Manhattan streets by assailants who cut her throat. Reverend Pat was giving a sermon about it, and I thought, we can't let this just die. What are courtroom monitors going to do? I said to my friend Julia, we have to keep Amanda in the public's eye. The only way that people are going to realize the plight that we're going through. During the sermon, Reverend Pat talked about the three kings who visited Jesus the night that he was born. And he said, who are we to say that those three kings were not three queens? Only queens would get up in the middle of the night and throw elaborate stuff into a bag and travel to the other end of the earth, not knowing where they're going. But they knew they had to be there, and they followed that star. So I told Julia, we have to do something. That whole day was telling me what to do. The sermon and the fact that Amanda's murderers were coming up for trial, and we had not kept pressure and visibility on it. We were three queens following the star, and that was it. The rebirth of Star. The only word I changed was transvestite to transgender. Star makes us visible. We have to be visible and not ashamed of who we are. We have to show the world that there are many of us. Julia and I are running Star from Transy House. That's where we live now. It's a trans collective run by Chelsea and Rusty Mae Moore. Chelsea Goodwin was one of the original children at Star House. One of the ones who made it. One of the children who survived.
Transy House is a safe house for girls who are still working the streets. It gives them a roof over their heads without having to hustle for money. They pay $50 a week if they can afford it. If not, they help out around the house.
We need more people in the trans community to open up houses like Rusty and Chelsea are doing with the Transy House. We get calls all the time from city and state agencies looking to place people, and we have to tell them, look, we're constantly filled up and we're doing this all by ourselves, without support from anyone. There's lots of shelters for people with AIDS, but no safe house for people without AIDS. And there's no safe shelter for these kids, so they end up sleeping on the streets. It hurts to see it still going on after 30 years. When Marcia and I first started trying to do something about it. Before I die, I want to see our community given the respect we deserve. I'll be damned if I'm going to my grave without having the respect this community deserves. I want to go wherever I go with that in my soul and peacefully say, I finally overcome.
Sylvia died at Transy House, fighting for trans rights and the respect we deserve. Transy House closed several years later when Rusty and I moved out of Brooklyn. We aren't very active in politics anymore, but we still live in a community with other trans people. Transy House still stands in Brooklyn, but there's nothing there to mark that it was once a beloved home for trans people and activists like Sylvia. There's no plaque or landmark notice on the building. But for us and the many people who live there, it was a loving home, and we will always remember it that way.
The year was 1969, during the height of the fight for human rights. Pissed off butch dykes, trans folks, and drag queens lit up Christopher Street. Enraged with ongoing police violence, they launched a defiant civil uprising. This was no boozy barroom brawl, this was the infamous Stonewall. Liberation Day in 1973, Sylvia screamed, "Y'all better quiet down. I've been trying to get up here all day for your gay brothers and your gay sisters in jail. Our families turned their backs on us, and now you white middle class gays are doing just the same. We got queer teens and young queens clinging to the streets, and you all don't do a goddamn thing." She said, "Come and see us at Star House sometime, apartment 14 at 640 East 12th. We hustle the streets to feed all our kids and give them a safe place to sleep." Chosen, intentional, and intergenerational, this was family at its most radical. Street transgender action revolutionaries, may you rest in power.
While the American Psychology Association agreed to delist homosexuality from the DSM in 1973, gender dysphoria became a psychiatric diagnosis in the fifth edition of the DSM, 40 years later, in 2013. The term gender incongruence appeared in the World Health Organization's 11th edition of International Classification of Diseases in 2019. The medical naming of gender dysphoria and gender incongruence has been hailed as progress because it helps people access hormonal therapy, surgeries, and medical coverage that affirm their gender. But some folks believe that gender dysphoria is a response to society's limiting options around understanding and defining gender. It shouldn't be subject to an individual diagnosis. Other folks don't believe that medical authorities should have the power to sanction people's decisions around their gender, or not sanction them. Cisgender folks can get treatment without a mental health diagnosis. There is still work to be done. You've been listening to The Love Booth and Other Plays. For information about us, visit our website, www.gaileyroad.com. Thank you.